So E for China on the opening tip against Jordan.
Actually, I don't. I mean, it's a really bizarre international story, and a lot of us are, don't know what to make of it. So it's something I'm reading about, and just like everybody is, but I'm not going to comment further than that.
Yao Ming, stopped by Morty Yao, on the stuff, and the foul.
It is getting personal around here.
It's the Mac Attack with Ryan Big Mac McKinnell on 920 The Game.
Hey, let's go Las Vegas. Here on this Tuesday, it is time for the Mac Attack. Welcome into the party. I sound a little short of breath. Apologies on that. Had a little bit of some technical difficulties here at the Mac Attack. But we hit the mark. We're basically on time, right, Chapman?
Close enough.
Close enough. Thank you to all the Metro cops out there. You saw me on the highway. Thanks for not stopping me. I appreciate it. Needed to bring this timely radio talk to the Las Vegas Valley. Headed out to the garage, the car didn't start. First time technically, Magnum, in a year that I've been late, so I'm kind of proud of that.
Yeah, well, those are unforeseen circumstances. You know, like I always wonder about, like, the pilot, right? Like, all right, I've got this 6 p.m. flight to Tokyo, and
right.
get in the driveway, and that nice car doesn't start because the battery's dead or the alternator's gone.
I feel like they just have to wait, right? Like, you can do a radio show without me.
Yeah.
Like, a pilot's a little bit different.
Right?
Well, I mean, you could run, like, a best of. I mean, there are contingency plans.
Yeah, but I don't have a best of prepared.
That's true.
What, like the doctor, you got to perform open heart surgery at 7 a.m.? Because, you got to get there really early in the morning whenever you have surgery.
Yeah. I guess the
moral
of the story.
My Porsche didn't start this morning.
I was going to say, the moral of the story, I guess, would be leave early.
Yeah, but, I mean, even in those cases, How much would leaving early have saved the pilot or you? Or
That's true. Good call. Yeah. Hey, speaking of don't be late, VGK fans, game two of the season kicks off tonight. Or puck drop, 7:08. What's that?
Game three?
Well, game two of home.
Yes.
Home game, sorry.
Second home game of the
second
season.
Second home game of the season. Thank you, Magnum, to clarify there. But
a very good team tonight.
Yeah, very well. I mean, we thought it was a very good team the first time around.
Yeah, we did.
It might not be the case. We'll find out more about the Sharks as obviously the season rolls on. But Chapman hit it right there. Boston Bruins defending Eastern Conference champions in the building. Pastrnak, Marchand.
Yeah, Bergeron.
Krejci, Bergeron.
Bergeron, Mr. Selke Award.
Yeah.
They should just name, everyone says they're just going to name the award after him because he's won it so many times.
Yeah, they should.
You know, obviously, very good goaltender, Tuukka Rask.
Yep.
Good team. Very, very good team.
Yeah, so we'll hit on that a little bit later in the show. Get a full preview. We'll lean on Chapman a little bit for that. He's part of the VGK Insider crew. You guys are going to be out there, what, Hyde Lounge for pregame?
Yep, Hyde Lounge for pregame. I talked to Shea Theodore, so he'll be part of the pregame show as well.
And
I always listen to, like, the broadcast of, like, Monday Night Football or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, their pregame guests, they always get, like, a gift certificate. Oh, you by being our guest today, you get a $100 gift certificate to such and such a restaurant.
Yeah, what do you give a Shea Theodore, though?
Nothing.
Yeah, nothing.
Say thank you.
Yeah,
good luck.
Thanks.
That's what he gets.
Congrats on the new contract.
Yes. Good luck.
So we'll continue on the VGK carousel a little bit later on in the show. We're going to get to Monday Night Football, Baker Mayfield and the 49ers here in about 2 minutes. But the first thing I want to hit on before we get to the opening round, are we going to have baseball here in Vegas? Like Major League Baseball? Like not AAA, like an actual team?
Maybe.
Maybe?
It sounds like it's a possibility. I mean, I would still say no, but the needle seems to be trending in that direction.
It's ramping up. News coming out of the Bay Area this morning. Oakland Mayor, Libby Schaff.
Yep.
Libby Schaff.
She's actually an attractive woman.
Is she?
Yes.
Well, that matters.
No, it doesn't, but
just throw
it in there, yeah.
Well, next time we have a hot male mayor, I want you to bring that same energy.
Yeah, remember Marion Barry? Man, he was one good-looking cocaine addict.
Yeah, I was going to say, he was probably pretty sexy when he had all the drugs around him, if you're into that sort of thing. Oh, Marion Barry. But no, Libby Schaff, The Oakland mayor, who I believe was the Oakland mayor when
the Raiders stuff went
down. Yeah, when everything went down with the Raiders stuff and the city and the back and forth with that. And essentially, what was a giant game of chicken.
Yes.
Which Oakland lost.
I look at it this way. Libby Schaaf must have some serious street cred for her to still be the mayor of Oakland after the Raiders. Like, well, Too Short is down with Libby Schaaf, yeah, and she's still mayor.
I don't know when that verdict came down. I don't know like what her tenure was when that happened, but I do agree. Now,
waiting for Digital Underground to release a Libby Schaaf rap song.
If she is still mayor 5 years from now, and if this comes to fruition,
oh, she's got some serious street cred.
Well, it's beyond street cred. She's got Polaroids. She's got wiretaps. That is because MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred said the A's might move to Las Vegas as a result of Oakland filing a lawsuit against the Oakland Athletics.
Well, and there was one other thing. Oakland also lost the Warriors.
Well, that's a whole other thing.
They went to San Francisco.
About Oakland losing all their listen. As much as I would like, and this is just preliminary reports. So this is but a Manfred saying it.
Yeah,
and
he's threatening.
And there is a track record with Schaaf, right?
Yeah.
Where you play hardball, you end up losing that game,
yes.
Right? So I want baseball here in Las Vegas. I want all the sports here in Las Vegas.
Yeah, why wouldn't we?
Exactly.
That's what we do.
Exactly. So
you're not a sports fan if you don't want.
Right. Well, that's where I kind of put a plug on this.
Look, if
no, hold on, because you said you're not a sports fan, right? If you don't want all the teams here, I would generally agree with that. But at what cost? Now, I am a sports fan.
Well, that's the key, what you hit on there,
yeah.
Right? Like, I'm in favor of the NFL coming here. What I'm not in favor of is $750 million of public money being used to build the stadium.
But when I say cost, I actually didn't even mean actually monetarily.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But no, that's a fair point.
All right.
I think that's a lot of people have a sticking point with that, right?
Yeah.
My issue, as a sports fan, as a baseball fan, and I'm going to be honest here, as a fan of the Bay Area, like, I love the Bay Area. I like spending time up there. I like vacationing there. You know, the landscape of San Francisco is changing rapidly into a tech giant, and we don't need to get into that. We don't have all the time to get into that. But this actually kind of does correlate to the story that we're talking about. Because as we talk about San Francisco and Oakland in the Bay Area, San Jose, if you want to throw it in there, I don't particularly. For the sake of this discussion, I'm talking about Oakland and San Francisco. It is a sports haven. At least for the last 50, 60 years.
Yeah.
When the Giants moved from Brooklyn, or excuse
New York,
me, New York
City, Manhattan.
Yeah, Brooklyn.
Polo
Dodgers.
Grounds.
Yep. Probably starting with that.
Yeah.
It really ushered in, and then obviously the 80s with the Niners, and the 70s with Ken Stabler and the Steelers.
Even the A's moved from Philadelphia to Kansas City to Oakland.
Right, and that's wherein lies the problem with me. I want the Oakland A's to stay in Oakland. Because I am a fan of sports.
Yeah.
And if they leave, because you set this up, I believe, when you talk about the Warriors move. That was Oakland's team. They're gone.
Yeah.
The Raiders are gone. If you take away the Oakland Athletics from the Coliseum, from that industrialized area down there, Oakland dies.
Yeah.
In a very real way.
They lose their identity.
100%. 100%.
You become Fresno at that point. Fresno,
exactly.
Fresno near the Bay.
Or, you know, even worse than becoming Fresno, you become an extension of San Francisco. And the tech people come in, just buy up all your cheap real estate.
And then where do the people go?
Well, nowhere. They
exactly.
get pushed into the homeless camps like they have.
Yeah.
I was just there 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, that's right.
And I was shocked. And it was my understanding, at least by the people who I was driving around with, a lot of those people that are homeless living out of their cars, they have jobs. They just can't afford rent.
Not the guys I saw on the BART.
Well, no. But you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There is a widespread homeless issue San Francisco.
That
now,
exists in a lot of big cities, but it's especially troublesome in a city like San Francisco.
100%, and that is because of the influx of the tech companies coming in, buying up entire city blocks, housing their employees, and I use that term loosely, and essentially pack them and stack them type scenarios, right? And it's getting worse.
It's sad, is what it is.
You know, political and that stuff aside, the identity of sports in the Bay Area. If you take away the Oakland Athletics, they have nothing. And as a fan, at least on some level, of the Bash Brothers and Dave Parker and Ricky Henderson and those Oakland
Dennis
Athletics
Eckersley,
teams,
yeah,
absolutely.
Great teams.
Right? Now you take away that, they have nothing.
Yeah.
And it just becomes more snooty, more flavor of the month fans, like the Warriors, get real. You and Magnum, come on. You and I remember a time
when the Warriors were garbage.
The biggest joke in the NBA.
Brian Cardinal.
They were the biggest joke in the NBA.
A Donald Foyle.
Outside of maybe the Grizzlies.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what other brand had less jersey sales, and, like, you never heard a blip on the radar. I mean, Mitch Richmond, Chris Mullin.
Yeah, they had TMC for a couple of years in the late 80s, early 90s.
Then they had Luttrell for a second that was,
before he choked out P.J. Carlesimo.
Right. Well, but I'm just saying, it just, I want baseball here. I do not want it to come at the expense of the Oakland Athletics. I want Oakland on some level to remain Oakland. Mm-hmm. If you take the A's away from them, they have nothing. They have no identity. And that rich, right? That rich history of Bay Area sports is now halved. And on some level, I think it signals a very dangerous and poisonous future for every other city that wants sports. Because if a city like Oakland can go from the Warriors, the A's, and the Raiders to nothing in a span of a decade, I have a serious problem with that in terms of Vegas, a city that couldn't house sports theoretically over the last few decades with the recession potentially coming. Now, these are just questions that seriously need to be talked about.
Yeah.
Because if it's that easy to do, what's it going to stop from happening here in the desert when things don't go their way?
And here's the other thing. You factor in, I know you're a big fan of robots.
Mm-hmm.
Automation taking over jobs on the strip, taking, you know, eliminating jobs. Where are people here going to find the income to support, because you know the NBA can't be too far away, to support four major league professional franchises?
I gotta be honest, I don't think it can happen to you.
I'm all right with two, right? Like, look, football, hockey, completely different sports, completely different crowds. NFL, you get 8 home games a year. Nobody cares about preseason. If you're lucky, you make the playoffs, you get an extra couple games. But when you factor in 41 home games for the Knights, 41 home games for an NBA team, 81 home games. I mean, look at how ridiculous the food costs were at the new Aviators Park.
Yeah.
Right? It was sold out.
It was cheaper to eat at an A's and drink
an A's game. Yeah, remember they did that study? $14 for a hot dog or whatever it was. I mean, I didn't buy food, so I don't know for sure. But I remember reading the breakdown of it's not cheap.
No, it's not.
And that's in Summerlin. So imagine you put something a mile off the strip.
So, yeah, that would be 41 in hockey. It would be 8 in football. So that's, let's just round up to 50.
41, that doesn't even include if you make the playoffs.
Right, and then it's 81 in baseball. I mean, we're talking about half the year essentially going on with sports, and that's not counting the entertainment and the millions of other things we have going on in this city. So, again, I would like baseball here. Maybe if it comes at the expense of the Diamondbacks or the Marlins or the Rays,
I think what you're getting at, and I think I agree, you feel kind of bad taking a second team from the city of Oakland.
Yeah, there's that. There is that, right? But it is also the danger of a city can go from having everything to nothing.
Yeah, I mean, imagine in the 90s, when Cleveland Browns left that city. I didn't know anyone from Cleveland, but I remember just watching the news and seeing how completely devastated and devoid of life that city was without the Browns.
You know what? Basketball had it right, man.
Yeah.
Remember that movie?
No.
It was the South Park.
I know it was Trey Parker.
Matt Stone, South Park creators. They made a movie about basketball, but it really was in the mid-90s, and it essentially talked about free agency, the change, you know, franchising, stadium costs, relocation, and the future of sports. They nailed it. We're going to keep an eye on this. Obviously, it's something we'll talk about throughout the year. But it feels like the first shot has been fired across the bow. Manfred coming out and acknowledging it and essentially playing a little bit of hardball. Let's get to it. Monday Night Football.
It's the opening round.
Finish him.
Brought to you by VIP Collision.
Baker Mayfield. Well, what do you think, Magnum? Contender? Pretender?
I'm glad I didn't buy the hype.
You didn't?
No. I was one of the people who said, let's slow down. It's Cleveland. 1 year doesn't make me a believer in the Cleveland Browns. And quite honestly, the Browns may have a bigger problem than Baker Mayfield. Might be Freddie Kitchens.
Well, that will be, we're 5 weeks in.
Yeah.
It's certainly, I don't think Kitchens has much of a leash because in this instance, he is tied to his quarterback. And right now, his quarterback is
bad,
underperforming. Let's just start.
It's an understatement.
Let's start 5 games in on these second year QBs. Okay. So that would mean Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, and Baker Mayfield.
And don't forget Sam Darnold.
Well,
he played a game.
He played a game. We're going to leave him out. Hey, your boy's back.
He's back.
Your boy's back.
I almost don't want him to be back with that offensive line.
Just have an excuse to keep losing. Tank.
Yeah.
Hey, what are you going to tank for? You can't tank for Tua. Tank for a trade?
Maybe. Tank, yeah, for a team that may want to. Or tank out, for the best offensive lineman in the draft.
You could certainly use it. And speaking of offensive linemen, the Browns need some help in terms of the offensive line, but we'll hold off on that. I want to get back to these second-year QBs and how they're doing five games in. Lamar Jackson, 65% completion rate, about 1,300 yards, 11 TDs, and 5 interceptions for a 99 rating. He also has 308 rushing yards and a touchdown. Impressive.
Now, he has not looked so good the last 2 weeks.
No, he hasn't. It was a hot start to the season, and, you know, he's slowing down a little bit. Josh Allen, 62%, so 3% percentage points less than Lamar. Lamar's at 65. Josh is at 62. He's at about 1,100 yards, 5 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, with a 75 rating. Not spectacular, but he does have 158 rushing yards and 3 touchdowns, which we know with Allen, and obviously who really cares what his completion percentage and his rating is, because the Buffalo Bills are, you know, doing very, very well.
Yeah, 4-1, that might be.
I actually saw it power rankings, top 10. Someone had the Bills at 10.
Then they have a bunch of games against teams that have not won games.
Yeah, it looks like they're going to make the playoffs.
And Redskins, I think Miami twice.
You got a friend with a futures bet.
Yeah, Well, he's going to be buying me a couple beers for making that bet.
And so, okay, Lamar at 65%, about 1,300 yards, 11 TDs. Josh Allen at 62%, about 1,100 yards, 5 TDs. 99 rating on Jackson and a 75 rating on Josh Allen. Now we get to Baker Mayfield. 55% completion rate. 1,200 yards, 4 interceptions, and four touchdowns, and double the interceptions at 8 for a rating of 68 with 0 rushing yards.
Yikes.
Not good. Not good. Now,
no, there's no way to sugarcoat that.
Now, the performance last night I find interesting from a couple of standpoints. Number one, a lot of people are piling on today. From Colin Cowherd to Richard Sherman, we saw Richard Sherman come out and say, you know, Baker didn't shake my line in the pregame handshake line, and he was asking for it, and we pinned our ears back, and we were teaching him a lesson. Well, video had come out and showed that, actually, Richard, that's not the case. Baker Mayfield absolutely did shake your hand before the game, and Sherman came out afterwards, presented with the evidence, and he was like, well, he didn't say anything after the handshake, and listen, he pissed us off, and that all there was to it, and you guys are making too much of a big deal about this. It's like, well, Richard, yes and no. I mean, you did lie, and you don't really need to find things to lie about with Baker Mayfield. I mean, he's an easy target.
If that's your motivation, then that's not good.
Well, we know Richard runs hot. We'll just say that
about
him.
Yeah, yeah. Richard Sherman.
I do, too.
Nope. Smart guy.
Yep, smart guy. Obviously still a very good defender. Was outspoken, which we appreciate. You know what I mean? I like that he has character and a personality, and he's not afraid to share his opinion. In this instance, though, I just thought it was a little cheap, and whatever, doesn't really matter. I'm just saying there are easier things to point to Baker Mayfield, right, than the fact that he didn't shake your hand in a handshake line, which he did.
Yeah.
So I don't fully understand it, but we're going to set that aside. Because you just look at the numbers themselves, that's all you need to do when you talk about Baker Mayfield, is we are now coming into season two of Baker Mayfield. And we talk about this all the time with second year, third year, whatever the case may be, quarterbacks, right? Tape is on you. Now, DC's defensive coordinators, teams, have the ability to sit back, take a season, an off season, and scheme.
Yeah, they can dissect what you do. Yeah. They can pick up your tendencies.
Absolutely.
As a quarterback, you have to get better.
Yep. Because you can keep in mind, in the midst of a season, as is season one with Baker Mayfield.
Not a lot of tape on him.
Well, it's not even just having the tape. You're already in the midst of a season, so you're not going to be focused on the Cleveland Browns, even if you meet them in week 8. You're in week 4 and you're focused on the next team at hand, right?
Yeah.
So you really, even when you're game planning or you're scheming for a Baker Mayfield, at best, assuming you play him that season, you got a week and a half, a week, maybe a couple, whatever, days to get ahead of it and actually get eyes on
it. Yeah, and outside of the Steelers, Browns, or Steelers, Bengals, and Ravens.
Right. Who's actually going to be paying attention?
Yeah.
Now, offseason, completely different story, but I digress.
Especially good defensive coordinators.
Right, exactly. Now, I do think it's unquestionable Baker Mayfield is dealing with a bit of an issue with a lack of a line. It's really not an excuse because he's underperforming in very real ways and he's making bad decisions. Now, those bad decisions are in part because he doesn't have a lot of time to throw the ball. I think he was pressured something out of like 18 out of 25 snaps last night, something like that. I don't have the exact number in front of me, but it was a porous offensive line. And that is reflecting in the lack of confidence in Baker Mayfield. But here's the issue with Baker Mayfield. And we like it. At least some of us do. I certainly do. I like bravado. I like confidence. I like it on both sides of the ball. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's Jalen Ramsey calling out people in GQ or if it's Baker Mayfield calling out people in GQ. GQ seems to get all the interviews.
Yes, yes, it does. Yeah, because Baker certainly had a lot to say about Rex Ryan.
100%, right? That's the thing. That's the thing. Baker has a lot to say about everybody, and that's okay.
Rex Ryan won games with butt fumble.
He did. He did. Show some respect. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Show some damn respect to Rex Ryan.
Yes. Sexy Rexy while pimping out his wife and her foot fetish or his foot fetish.
This is his foot fetish.
Managed to win the best. The
back-to-back AFC championships.
The best Rex Ryan story is the fact that he got his wife tattooed on his arm in a Mark Sanchez jersey.
In fairness, once you bust your wife out for like being a co-conspirator in your foot fetish, you kind of got to do whatever you possibly can to make it right. You know, I say a lot of ridiculous stuff about my wife on the air or like when I'm on Cofield that I feel bad about it all the time. I have to like keep a running list.
Yeah, so you luckily have to go home and buy flowers.
Right. Luckily, she doesn't hold it against me, but I mean, I feel like I'm working on a tattoo.
At that point, you hope she doesn't listen.
Yeah, exactly. Thank God she's working. Yes. Thank God she has a 9-to-5. Speaking of Cofield and Company, I will be coming up on Cofield and Company today from 3 to 6, me and Adam Hill. So, if you're not sick of me after this hour, you can turn over to ESPN Las Vegas, and I'll be hanging out with Mr. Hill as we get more into the news of today. But no, going back to Baker Mayfield. This is the responsibility that falls on your shoulders when you are a lightning rod like that, right? When you put all that visceral, quotable copy out there in the world, it is going to come back and bite you in the ass here and there. That's just the reality of the media, of the news cycle, whatever you want to call it, and humans in general. They love to cheer for you, but they also love to tear you down. So it's going to be really interesting to see how Baker Mayfield responds to this. So far, everything I can tell, dude's handled himself with great class and had all the right things to say in the face of adversity. But that adversity is going to grow. The volume is going to get louder. The critique is going to get heavier. Because for the first time ever, Magnum, the Cleveland Browns had expectations going into this season. And now it's looking like you're not going to meet those expectations. Or at least you're off on a start that the expectations are going to be severely downgraded. And obviously people are going to have feelings about that. So it's going to be interesting to see how everything was great in year one, right? You took the Cleveland Browns to the heights of expectations. You got Odell Beckham Jr. People were picking you to win the AFC North. It's been great. Well, now, Baker, welcome to Cleveland. Welcome to what most of us knew you were getting into. You thought that you were the franchise changer. You thought you were the guy that could shoulder all that responsibility and turn it around and make a playoff push. Maybe you are.
And he seemed to embrace that.
Yeah, and he did. And he's going to need to continue to do that because I don't know how much excuse, I don't know how many excuses he's going to be able to make. I don't know what you're going to be able to point to when you look at the offensive weapons that he has on that side of the ball, and they're doing nothing. Three points. Now, I understand there was the Callaway tip in the end zone, right? Yeah. That was a huge swing. That was a two-touchdown swing.
Yeah, because, I mean, they score a touchdown, right? All of a sudden. It's a completely different game.
It was 21-3. It should have been 14-10.
Yep.
Right? So there is that. I fully understand that. It was not a terrible game by Baker Mayfield. I don't particularly think it's a terrible season by Baker Mayfield, but let's look at the person so far 5 weeks in. This is a guy that understands the expectations. He's trying too hard, Magnum. He's trying to do too much, and that's where you see the 4 touchdowns and 8 interceptions. He's trying to put it all on his shoulders. And also, I do wonder what it's like having a guy like Odell Beckham Jr. on that side of the ball. Like,
who really isn't getting involved in the offense.
Well, and that's the pressure of that. What does that do to you as a quarterback when you have this Odell Beckham Jr., this guy, that this number one, and listen, Jarvis Landry, due credit to Jarvis Landry, great wide receiver, right? He is not Odell Beckham Jr. So when you get Odell Beckham on your team, what does that do to you as a quarterback in terms of your expectations and who you want to get to the ball? Or who you want to get the ball to, excuse me. In year one, it was win by committee, right? It was do whatever it takes. And I think that's kind of like Baker's MO. But now maybe, I don't know, I'm just saying, we haven't heard anything about this. No one's asked him the question. I hope someone in Cleveland does. But does he feel an expectation to get Odell Beckham Jr. the ball? Is that playing on him?
Yeah.
I think that is a fair question to ask him because forcing stuff, doing uncharacteristic things. I saw a play last night where he was clearly looking for Odell in the end zone. He threw into triple coverage. Like, that's not healthy.
Yeah.
That's not the way I saw Baker Mayfield playing quarterback last year.
No, he almost played like there was no pressure on him at all.
Exactly. And it is interesting to see. And I think that's been the story of his career, essentially, is no one believes in you.
Mm-hmm.
You against the world. You're the walk-on. You're all those things, right? But now you're being picked to win the AFC North. Some people had you as an MVP candidate.
And you know, the thing is, they still could win the NFC North because the division is really not that good.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. As far as the other side of the ball, the San Francisco 49ers, wow.
Defensively, really, really good.
Well, I mean, everywhere.
Nick Bosa was
he was on fire.
Awesome, yeah.
Nick Bosa was shedding.
Lived up to the hype of a top five draft pick.
100%. Shedding linemen and getting to the quarterback. We saw him plant the flag. He had his comments after the game.
But, you know, I
yeah, whatever. He's got a long memory. I'm not going to.
You know, you're in the NFL now. Who cares what he did in college?
He's still young. It's Bosa's rookie year. I understand it. Yeah. But
maybe it's just that type of personality.
Yeah, exactly. It sure looks like Kyle Shanahan is the best coach in the NFL outside that isn't named Bill Belichick. I think you can throw McVay in that conversation.
Yeah, you know, I'm not ready to just anoint him yet.
I'm saying it's looking like. Yeah, you're talking about the last undefeated team in the NFC.
Yeah.
Not a whole lot of offensive weapons on that side of the ball.
We could be honest. There's a pedigree there.
There is.
So he learned the game from another very good coach, obviously his father, Mike.
Yep.
And he came from Washington, I think, where I believe he was a quarterback's coach.
I believe so.
And I think he made the right decision.
I'd say so. So, hey, listen, I don't know where they sit in the pantheon of power rankings right now. I haven't really sat down and thought about it and looked into it, but I feel pretty comfortable putting them at the top of the NFC.
Well, you know, the crazy thing is I can remember looking at the teams this season and saying that the NFC West was a weak division because you had the Cardinals who were going to be terrible, and I still don't believe in Cliff Kingsbury or their quarterback, Murray. I didn't think San Francisco was going to be that good, and I thought the Seahawks were done. I thought it was over for them.
Yeah, you're very wrong about both of those.
I'm very wrong about a lot in the NFC West because I figured the Rams would be running away with the division, and now the Rams look like the third best team in that division.
Which isn't that, I know we're 5 weeks in, but that is probably the most, honestly, outside of the NFC North having every team above 500.
Because they probably should have lost to the Browns,
right,
too.
Right, out of having every team in the NFC North above 500, I think, is the most surprising stat so far through week five.
Yeah.
I think the fact that the Seahawks, right?
4-1.
Right? The Seahawks and the Niners
did not see that.
Are arguably better than the LA Rams.
And how great is it going to be when Richard Sherman goes back to Seattle?
It's going
to
be good stuff.
And those two teams are fighting, maybe for the division. I mean, like, I had the conversation with someone yesterday. I said, you know, I think it was Carlota over on our sister station, Comp, who's a big Kansas City Chiefs fan. And I said, could you imagine, and I'm not wishing or hoping for anything, but if Tom Brady got hurt and was out for the season, you could literally pick probably 15 different teams that had a chance to win the Super Bowl. I still think Kansas City would probably be number two. But if Tom Brady was to be lost for the season, there literally is no clear-cut favorite to win. I mean, Indianapolis went into Kansas City and beat the Chiefs.
That's a great point.
And they were supposed to suck.
Parity is arguably as healthy as it's ever been in the NFL.
It's exactly what the NFL wanted when they under Paul Tagliabue, when they changed all the rules with collective bargaining, they made their great media deal with Fox. This is exactly what they wanted. And I think we are only a couple of years away from Brady and Belichick being completely done with the league to where the NFL gets their dream of where it's similar to the NHL, where any team can win the championship. Yep. I mean, granted, you have four or five teams in the NFL who are atrocious. But then there's a mix of teams. I mean, would you be shocked with that defense if Buffalo somehow found themselves in the AFC Championship game?
Yes, because it's the Bills, but I get what you're saying.
But I get what you're saying. I wouldn't be because their defense is that good.
Yeah. Listen,
They probably should have beaten the Patriots.
I know. It is crazy. It is an exciting year. We're only 5 weeks in. You bring up Paul Tagliabue. You bring up former commissioners. Let's talk about some current commissioners that might be in a little bit of hot water. We're going to take a break when we come back. Yeah, Adam Silver, China, the Rockets.
China.
That story is not dying anytime soon. We're going to talk about it next here on the Mac Attack.
The Mac Attack returns in minutes on 920 The Game. It's the Mac Attack with Ryan McKinnell on 920 The Game.
Houston Rockets fan in China posted a photo on Weibo, social media platform, wearing a James Harden jersey while holding up a Chinese flag and a lighter with the caption, "I live and die with my team. Come and catch me." They caught him.
Ooh. Not good.
I feel like the Rockets jersey is going to be like, what's the thing in Hunger Games where they hang up, where they hold up the two fingers and they like whistle? Like that is going, like
the rallying cry.
Yeah, the Rockets jersey is about to become the rallying cry of freedom in Hong Kong.
Unbelievable.
This is wild, man. Listen, we hit this yesterday, and I really want to do it the full justice today because I feel like we glossed over it yesterday. And there's a lot. Listen, I'm kind of like Steve Kerr. If you haven't been following, Steve Kerr was asked to comment on this growing controversy in China over the Rockets and Daryl Morey and his comments and all that. Right? Kerr was asked to comment, and Kerr essentially said, "Listen, I want to educate myself more on the subject before I go speaking. There's things that I do speak about that I'm passionate about that I feel I'm informed on, and thus my opinion is valid. In terms of China, I need to get caught up. I don't know how true that is. I don't know how much he's walking the line because, as we've seen, people associated with the NBA right now are very hesitant to take a hard line. Daryl Morey, he took a hard line.
Yeah.
Fight for freedom, stand with Hong Kong, boom, bam. There's no reading between the lines with that.
Oh, yeah.
Everything that we've heard since then has been damage control. Now, NBA Commissioner Adam Silver came out today, and we have a couple clips for you. He was in Tokyo, and obviously he was asked about what is going on. Now, when we talk about what is going on, there is massive blowback from China, okay? Massive. Massive. They've canceled all preseason games on CCTV, their state-sponsored television. Or whatever it is over there.
Yeah, state TV.
State TV. They've canceled all
Communist China games. Television.
Right. They have pulled Houston Rockets apparel, merchandise off the distributors.
Yep.
And there was a video that just surfaced a couple hours ago of people, Chinese citizens, painting over Houston Rockets logos in gyms and essentially wiping record that they ever existed. Listen, I don't know.
And Yao Ming was angry.
Yao Ming is very upset. Yes, but the point being is this is becoming an international incident. It is becoming an international controversy, and it's not slowing down.
And I would say it's an international embarrassment.
It is. But Adam Silver, obviously, commissioner of the NBA, was asked about this. He's about to head to China in the next day or two, I believe. And he's hoping to speak with people, Chinese government, people in the sports world, whatever the case may be. And he's trying to also, at the same time, as we talked about it yesterday, right? The NBA is known for social justice. They support social justice initiatives here in the States. They've been vocal about it. They've been vocal about supporting social justice. They've made campaigns on it. They made money off of it. But that's a key word, right? Money. Because with China, this is a social justice issue. This is a democracy issue. This is a human rights issue when you talk about the Muslims that are being reportedly tortured.
Cleansed and
rounded up. So there are a lot of different international kind of ramifications surrounding this blossoming controversy, however you want to word it, right? So Adam Silver is in full-on damage control. He's trying to appease people stateside to prop up our American values and the social justice initiatives that the NBA has so clearly backed for all these years, and at the same time not trying to piss off the Chinese government. Good luck with that. First clip. Adam Silver saying free speech matters in the NBA.
I want to be clear that, and I think there's been some confusion around this. We are not apologizing for Daryl exercising his freedom of expression. I regret, again, having communicated directly with many friends in China, that so many people are upset, including millions and millions of our fans. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, we come with basketball as an opportunity to sell dreams, sell hopes, that to increasingly focus on physical fitness, mental health, and to the extent that we are causing disruption in people's lives and that we are causing disharmony, that's something I regret.
You regret someone trying to... I mean, this is like a right and wrong issue, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. We can talk politics, and there's opinions.
Yeah.
And you can say culturally China's different. Yeah, no kid. Duh.
Yeah, but...
Duh, China is different.
You feel bad that an American citizen who his entire life has been taught about free speech, democracy,
right,
capitalism. So, Daryl Morey... being taught all those things from the time he was a little kid, patriotic American. Now you regret that he hurt the feelings of a brutal communist dictatorship. There's no right or wrong here.
Right.
There's only...
Pick a side. Pick a side.
So Adam Silver, I regret that speaking to many friends
in
China...
You know what that sounded to me? It's like when you tell an offensive joke. It's like, I'm sorry to those I offended.
Yeah. No, you're not.
No, you're not.
You're not sorry that you offended those people.
I'm sorry I offended those people. What does that even mean?
Yeah. I'm sorry that you were offended.
Right.
Not that I told the joke.
Right. So... It's interesting watching Adam Silver have to balance this because
he was squirming.
He was, of course, he was squirming because there's millions and potentially billions of
because
dollars.
Because you got to think, his job could be in jeopardy if the owners say, "Hey, we've lost too much money because of this. You're out too."
Yeah, I think we're a long way off from that, but you're right. I mean, it could get that bad. I mean, this is a horrible situation for Adam Silver to be in because for however long he's been commissioner, 15, 6, however many years it's been a little good time.
And I like Adam Silver as a commissioner because I feel like he's very proactive.
He is.
In a lot of ways.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Adam Silver.
At every turn, he's done the right thing.
I mean, this is a guy who goes to the New York City Pride Parade and marches in the Pride Parade.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Social justice
states.
He's
very progressive.
Right.
And to me, I think, and I can't even believe I'm going to say it because it's going to make it sound like I agree with some people, but you cannot say it's okay to be anti-Trump. We can make T-shirts that say "Hands up, don't shoot." We can put our hoods up for Trayvon Martin. Mm-hmm. But then, when it comes to Chinese people and the way that China is trying to crush these and murder protesters in Hong Kong, you can't turn a blind eye to that and say, "Nope, that's where we draw the line."
That's cultural differences.
Yeah, it's not.
No, it's human rights.
It's right and wrong.
Right, exactly. So, Adam Silver finds himself in a bit of a pickle. He continues speaking to the media in Tokyo before he arrives in China, and you can almost hear the squirming in his voice. This is more Adam Silver.
One of the things that comes with freedom of expression often is very difficult conversations. And that in any society, that comes with that sort of engagement. I think nobody ever suggested that when somebody exercises those rights, that it means that people are going to say, "Aha, now I agree," or that everything will be friendly. And if anything, the very much an unintended consequence, but I think there what we're seeing as a result of Daryl's tweet and Joe Tsai's response, I can tell you, at least speaking for the United States, that there's, I think, far more understanding of the complexity of the issues in Hong Kong than there was heretofore.
Yeah, he's losing me, man. And Adam Silver has never lost me before. Now, you hear what he's saying? Well, that's the issue with free speech. You know, free speech sometimes creates uncomfortable conversations. Yes, you're absolutely correct, Adam. In countries where free speech is allowed, stupid. What is he saying? Like, what is he saying? That, yes, free speech does create uncomfortable conversations. That is exactly why China doesn't want to allow and doesn't allow free speech.
Yes. In fact, China had a response to Adam Silver's comments. And what I took of it, we believe that the free speech challenges...
That any speech.
Any speech that challenges national sovereignty and social stability is not within the scope of freedom of speech.
Right, and
that's what free speech is.
There you go. End of conversation, Adam Silver.
Yes.
This is not a government or a people that wants to have free speech. They don't want criticism.
They don't have Twitter.
They don't have anything.
There's no Facebook. There's no Instagram. You are on a government-sponsored, government-approved website.
This is nuts. This is nuts from the standpoint, I can't believe we're here. I can't believe it's the NBA.
Of all the leagues.
That's tucking their tail. And, I mean, I can because, listen, there's been a lot of discussion around the sports world in the last 24 hours. Like, you actually expect for-profit billionaire corporations to do the right thing in terms. Yeah, sometimes.
You would have hoped.
Yeah, out of all of them. I would have hoped it. I would have expected it to be the NBA. The fact that it is the NBA, or that it wouldn't be the NBA that is in this. The fact that it is the NBA that is cowering, and Adam Silver is out there at the front saying, "Well, you know, freedom of speech sometimes creates uncomfortable conversations, and this is what we have to do to get on the other side of it." There is no getting on the other side of this with China. They are a dynasty. They've been insulated for thousands of years. You're never going to open them up. You're never going to change their mind. You're never going to make them think a different way because they don't want it. They have an iron fist rule on their country. There is no freedom of speech. That's what communism is. And this is the game you play when trying to open. And I agree. Like, listen, I'm running my headlights over here a little bit, right? I got to slow down. I do believe that in sports, the best things about sports are the unifying aspects of it. The way that change can come from sports. Muhammad Ali, John Carlos and Tommy Smith, Colin Kaepernick. Those are uncomfortable conversations that you take to your dinner table in the Midwest where they say, well, I just wish that kid would stop disrespecting the flag and get off of his knees. Well, see, actually, racist uncle, that's not what this is about. It has nothing to do with the troops. It's all about police brutality yes. and our systemic problems with policing in the United States, right? That uncomfortable conversation can create change. It will not happen overseas because they don't want it. Not only do they not want it, Magnum, they actively fight against it yes. at every single turn. And now we, once a world power, which I'm not trying to sit here like wave a flag and be like, America, yeah, like we're, our values are crumbling into the ground and we're nothing. The fact is, on some level, that is happening.
Yes, especially when it comes to China.
100%.
Because the NBA is not the only one
right.
who's put their tail between their legs. We see it all the time. When I was living over in Taiwan, yeah. there was a Korean pop group, right? They're in Seoul, Korea.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a girl group, right? They take different girls and manufactured. And there was a girl from Taiwan.
Okay.
Now, I won't get into the political aspects of Taiwan and China.
Lengthy.
But she's Taiwanese. All the girls in the group took a picture with the flag of their home country. You have Japanese girls. You have a girl from Korea
sure.
waving their flags. They get to this girl from Taiwan. She's waving the Taiwanese flag. The Chinese people, they went after this girl. She was 13 years old, forced her to issue an apology for not waving the Chinese flag because China feels that Taiwan is part of their country.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the reality is there's two separate places.
Right.
But they humiliated this girl. And rather than step up and do the right thing, this pop group forced her to issue an apology. It is disgusting. It's one of those things. And I'm a worldly person. But when it comes to this, China is a bully. And for Adam Silver, and the NBA has always done the right thing. They have always embraced their diversity.
Yep.
They're the only league where MLK Day is celebrated, right? You don't see that in the NHL. You don't see that in the NFL. MLK Day is celebrated.
No, it's like I said yesterday. They love being woke when it makes them money.
Yeah.
But when it influences their bottom dollar, they shrivel and they cower and at the feet of China.
The reality is they can piss off Trump supporters because that's not their demographic.
Right.
They don't care.
But you know who is their demographic?
A billion Chinese.
And it's not exactly, and it's not even their demographic yet. It's the hopes of the future and that Brinks truck that would be backed up to yeah. Adam Silver's door. This is a really, listen, I feel like we could do a whole hour on this.
And shame on Joe Tsai.
Well, for sure.
Who is the owner of the Nets. He's from Taiwan. He was born in Taiwan. He has huge ties to that island. But co-founder of Alibaba. What is Alibaba? Alibaba is Chinese eBay, Chinese Amazon. It is bigger than both of those countries. They own parts of Yahoo. That's how big Alibaba is. Well, he knows where his meal comes from.
Yeah.
And he sold out Hong Kong by calling them separatists, which they're not. And he said it's a third rail issue. Shame on Joe Tsai.
100%. Shame on everybody involved in this because the NBA, and like I said, I feel like we could go on for an hour about this, and we pretty much have, but this is – the ramifications of this, I don't think the ripple effect of what could come or what is to come from this relationship, it's really interesting because right now it looks like the NBA has no power. And I'm sorry, I just don't believe that. Now, I don't know if that's the American in me talking. I don't know. I understand the behemoth that China is, but on some point, Adam Silver, the NBA, the association, you need to fight back on China.
Yeah.
Say, I'm sorry. I get it. You seem to not care about us. You want to cancel our preseason games. You want to pull our merch. Fine.
Fine. Do it.
You don't have LeBron James. Yeah. You've had one player that has mattered on the world stage, and that is Yao Ming. One.
That's it.
Yeah. Solo. One player.
Yijin Lan.
Yep.
So garbage.
If you don't want the NBA, fine. There are some things that are worth more than money. Yeah. Our integrity, our brand, our shield, whatever you want to call it.
We'll go to India.
Yep.
We'll go to Africa.
Yep.
You know what? Screw you. We're in Tokyo right now.
Yeah, we'll probably find better players from India than we would have found in China anyway. Because at some level, recruitment has to be an issue. You want to talk about bringing in... I mean, we've seen what Europe... I mean, the Eurostep, for Christ's sakes.
Oh, yeah.
It's changed the game.
Not the Dream Team completely changed the game.
Draws and Petrovic. And yes, to the credit of the Dream Team going overseas.
Making it worldwide. Yep.
100%. And I understand China is this white whale, but again, at what cost? And it is going to be interesting to see what the symbol of the Rockets... Because I kid, but I'm halfway serious. Like a Rockets jersey in China is going to mean something now. So this is we're teetering on this going to a massive DEFCON type level in terms of like a social justice and social initiative kind of like progress sort of narrative. It is going to be endlessly interesting to keep tabs on this and to see what ramifications could come on this, because we're talking about dancing on the world stage, and the NBA does that well. They do that well, but they are failing right now. And I tell you, they got to save face. They got to save face because you are bowing.
Which is huge.
Yeah, 100%.
Saving face is one of the most important things in Chinese culture. You have to save face.
Yep.
And that's
why they're playing hardball right now.
Yeah.
They're trying to get ahead of it, and it's a power play right
now.
The
NBA, I mean, look, I can't speak for them because obviously I'm not the one who's going to lose hundreds of millions of dollars here. Yeah. They should do the right thing. You know
they
what?
Absolutely
fine.
Should.
Fine. You know what? We support free speech, and if one
if
of our general managers
fine.
Wants yeah. to support democracy yeah. Yeah. in Hong Kong, yeah. so
and if you don't want it, fine. We don't. I guess we'll take James Harden, Russell Westbrook, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, literally every single player who matters in basketball. We will take them back to the States, and you can think about what it's like with no NBA over in China.
And doing that, you send a message to the rest of the world.
100%.
We're not going to be bullied 100%, by China,
but we're being bullied. We're being bullied by China, and it's something that I kind of talked about yesterday, but I said I wanted to give more time to. Look at some of the money in Hollywood. Look at some of our real estate. Look at some of our infrastructure in terms of roads, toll roads. A lot of it is owned by the Chinese. We're not just bowing to the Chinese in terms of sports. We're bowing to the Chinese on the world stage and a lot of other avenues. And listen, that is dangerous because, again, if it was another westernized culture, a capitalist country, I can't say I would have a huge deal with it. That's just the flow of the world and the way that money moves. But the fact that we're talking about a communist regime that our president was just, you know, tipping the cap to a week ago and saying congratulations on 70 years of communism. What?
Yeah.
Are you out of your what? So the fact that this is all happening in the span of like 7 days is endlessly interesting. As I said, sports, when it becomes bigger than sports, when it becomes about the world and the people in it and humans and colors and cultures and creeds and sexes, that's when sports is best. I got a feeling we have not heard the end of this, not by a long mile. All right, when we come back, Boston Bruins, Vegas Golden Knights going down tonight at T-Mobile. We'll get you ready for it.
The Mac Attack returns. You're listening to the Mac Attack.
Got to calm down from all that China talk. I'm sure we'll have more of it at some point. Like I said, it's not going to be the end of it. You made a great point in that new Maverick movie, the new Top Gun that comes out, Top Gun 2020, whatever they're calling it.
Yeah.
Maverick had patches from Taiwan and Japan on his flight jacket in the trailer. China did not like that. China called into Hollywood and said remove them, and it was removed within about a week.
They're gone.
So if you think I'm being hyperbolic, if you think I'm being ridiculous, the influence China has in America is being felt more and more by the week, by the month, by the year. And this NBA story is...
Well, yeah,
it's a huge highlight.
The U.S. issued I was living in Taiwan, the U.S. issued an apology to the Chinese government because the Taiwanese, they can't technically have an embassy, but they have an office here in Washington, D.C. They raised a Taiwan flag at the embassy. China flipped out. U.S. issued an apology, reprimanded Taiwan on it.
Anyway, Vegas Golden Knights, Boston Bruins going down in about 4 hours? What are you watching for?
I want to see how Nick Hague does again. He's probably going to be playing with Derek England. I don't imagine Gerard Gallant's going to change anything up.
A lot more pressure on that blue line without Nate Schmidt.
Yeah, and Cody Glass, let's see the progression. Now you're going up against one of the top teams in the NHL, team that was in the Stanley Cup Finals last year. And Boston's so good. They're fun to watch. They're
gritty,
so good.
Super gritty. Two-way play is through the roof. You know what I mean?
Daniel Chara is 42.
Really? 8 years younger than Brett Favre. Happy birthday, Brett Favre. What, 2 days?
Yes.
Why am I saying that? I'm a Bears fan. I'm such an idiot. It's all because you said it during break. I was like, I'll throw that in there. It's a nice factoid. Why? You know, I take that happy birthday back, Brett Favre. I hope you're miserable. I hope your bones ache every single day, you bum. All right. We are going to, well, we're going to be out of here for the day. Boston Bruins, Vegas Golden Knights coming up in a few hours, and you know we'll be talking about it tomorrow. Full recap on the Mac Attack coming up in 23 hours. Enjoy the game, friends.